Thank Monster for releasing Peachy King. It's refreshing and peachy.
Team came together well, you know.
We did really good. You know, obviously we could play better.
The bronze monster.
Yeah, it is. There's no iron in sync. Gotta do better next time. So what's up, fellas? How we doing?
Good. How about you?
What we got?
All right. Man.
Fire away.
All right, let's go.
I'm gonna know less than half of these questions.
All right. So you did VR Troopers, obviously. You've been around for a long time.
Yeah.
Why don't a lot of people know you were a nerd? What is your nerdy origin story? What got you started as a nerd?
Okay, so whenever I would come home from school, I grew up in Dallas, Texas, and the school was right across from my house, literally just like the school yard and then my house, right? So I would run home, and the only thing that was on TV was Voltron. We had Voltron, Inspector Gadget. I remember those were my two go-tos, and all of a sudden, when I got a dose of Voltron, and I was like, oh man, all these guys, they come together to form one big guy. And I was like, all right. So that's when the seed was kind of planted. And then, and really, honestly, I didn't really think, I mean, I was always a Star Wars fan, Battlestar Galactica, going way back. But I was always a space, you know, sci-fi fan anyway. But then when I got the chance and I was in LA, the audition came up for Power Rangers, and they were there. They were there, you know, the biggest show on the planet at that point. And they were like, man, we're auditioning for the new White Ranger. And I was like, oh man, because then all of a sudden Voltron came back and I'm like, there's five of them. We can come together and do this, you know? It was like, it brought back that Voltron, you know, part of me. And I was like, and when they said, yeah, you got the part, I was like, man, this is my chance to come back and relive my, you know, my childhood. You know, my childhood fantasy. Yeah.
Sir. But for VR Troopers, now, I don't know how much common knowledge it is, but how did it come about for Tommy's short stint to go to VR Troopers, but come back to Power Rangers and you get the role?
Yeah, so I mean, it's weird. I mean, our fates could have went in completely different directions. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, I'm very curious of what it would have been like for me to actually be the White Ranger. I would wonder what that would have looked like. Because, I mean, I was a 17, 18-year-old kid. I was right out of high school, just moved to L.A., sleeping on my friend's floor, going to auditions during the day. And it came up for the audition for the White Ranger. Went through all the audition process. You had to do martial arts display. You had to do the, you know, couple of scenes and all that stuff. And then I ended up booking the part. So I thought, you know, I was like, I'm going to be on one of the biggest shows, you know, in the world right now. And a couple of months leading up to it, Jason just blew up, you know? He became the biggest guy on the show. You know, you couldn't stop how big he was, you know, as far as his fan base. And so he was doing he did a pilot called Cybertron. And basically, it's on YouTube, and it's all the footage from VR Troopers, but it's got Jason David Frank as my character through the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So it's funny to watch it. Basically, Cybertron became VR Troopers, and he got so popular that Saban was like, we can't lose him from the franchise. So come full, you know, turn, he takes off the helmet, and now Jason is now the White Ranger, and Brad, they just called me and said, hey, about that White Ranger thing? Yeah, they're like, we're going to give you your own show. That was the way they made it better. They were like, we're going to give you your own show. So I was excited to have my own show.
So being a part of both My Hero Academia and Full Metal Alchemist, what would you rather have was up to you? A quirk or alchemy?
Quirk. It's with my work with Funimation, it's like I started there and I knew nothing about anime. And I still know very little about anime. But I started in a room, like we would do the Walla sessions, you know, where you'd have to get a bunch of people in there. And it was like in Funimation, I'm talking 20 years ago. That's when I first started working with those guys. We do Walla sessions in a studio, looked like a shower, about the size of a shower. And there's five grown men in that one little room, all talking or yelling over the top of each other, you know? And so that's how we started. I started in Walla in the very beginning and ended up looking some, you know, character roles. So it's like all of a sudden it's like, you know, Gunslinger Girl and Full Metal Alchemist and My Hero Academia and Dragonaut and all these shows where I was just like, oh shit, man, I'm starting to, you know, I know if I can say that. But I was started to develop a resume, you know, of anime, and I was just like, man, it was a whole like subculture of, you know, of my career that I didn't even know, because I was so used to being on camera. I was so used to being an actor on camera, but to be completely unseen and only heard, that was a pretty interesting like new muscle for me to learn. And then the history and all the plots and everything behind every character in every show. I mean, it was just nonstop. Sometimes I was the star of this show, and then sometimes I was security guard F on this one, going, stop, or I'll shoot, and that's it. So I had big roles, and I had some really tiny roles.
Being the voice of Demon Slayer.
Yeah. Now, Goblin Slayer. Yeah.
Goblin Slayer. Yeah. Correction. Appreciate you. And it escalating from the first episode. Do you think the story could exceed outside of season one?
Oh yeah. I mean, I think they're supposed to release season two here soon, right? It's been hyped for a while. We knocked it out. I mean, a while ago. We knocked that out like a year and a half ago. It's been in the can for a while. Because they did the first season, then they did the movie, The Crown, right? And then they've been hyping the second season. It's supposed to be released soon. I'm hearing like July or August. I mean, it's supposed to come out soon. And it gets even more gory and more, yeah, disturbing. Yeah, I was watching it there when we were doing the voices. I was watching it. I was like, we can show that? You can do that? They're like, yeah, this one isn't really kid forward. Yeah, so it should be coming out pretty soon.
So with so many, fandoms and series out there and things to be a part of, is there anything like that would be on your list of something that you'd like to be a part of, whether that's Marvel, DC, Star Wars, or...
Yeah, I mean, I'm Marvel more so than anything else. I mean, I just watching these franchises of all these superheroes that you grow up watching, and now they're just superstar, and the movies just go on and on. I would say to be on a big film, you know, on the Marvel side, and I mean, if DC threw it at me, I mean, I wouldn't turn it down, but I mean, just watching, you know, my superheroes become feature-length movies right now, I would be an extra on one of those movies just to, you know, just to have an opportunity to be a part of that, you know, of that reality, you know.
If you was going to get a role, what superhero would you cast yourself as?
Well, shit, it's not going to be Thor. You know, you look at that and you go, that's the ultimate dude right there, you know. Just looks like that, got Jack like that, you know, got all these powers. I don't really know, man. I wouldn't want to be anything. I wouldn't want to be the Flash for some reason. I don't know. Yeah. What I feel like, you know, I wouldn't want to be that. But I've always liked superheroes. Superman's just the ability to fly has always been one of those things. I think I still want to. I want to get one of those wing suits and jump out of a plane, and you know. And I think that's the closest experience you would ever have to, you know, be able to fly. But I mean, I think Superman's got most of the powers that I would want, you know. So I don't know. I guess if Superman had a spinoff little sidekick, I'd like to give that one a shot.
Now, who would you say are your favorite superheroes outside of Superman?
Let's see here. Honestly, I mean, Batman, because of the tricks. Batman's a common dude, right? He just got really cool stuff, you know. I honestly, when it comes down to it, it's like Thor was up there, you know. I just think because one, he's just, you know, he's just like the dude that dudes want to be, right? Got the flowing hair, got the jacked up muscles, you know. And I just I think probably Thor is probably one of my tops. Yeah. Yeah. What's up, man?
What is the one role that you regret not taking?
What say again?
What is the one role you regret not taking?
Regret not taking. Okay. Well, I've pretty much taken them all. If it was offered to me, if it was a job, yeah. I mean, in the beginning, I was looking for anything I could get. I think I'm more curious about what would have happened with the White Ranger. I think just in a longer span is, you know, because the question is, if I would have done that role, would I have made the character as popular as the White Ranger, or is that all JDF? Like, I'd want to know, you know, because if JDF came over to what was VR Troopers, would he have turned that into something as big as Power Rangers? Or was it, you know, the alignment of JDF and the White Ranger. You know, in the back of my mind, curiosity is leading me towards what would have happened if I would have, you know, been in that suit. Would it have been me or the suit or the franchise, or was it JDF the whole way, you know?
Following that what if, how would the following season of VR Troopers have gone in your head if you had the opportunity? You're creative.
Yeah, and we were starting to get some momentum. So it was like the first season, we were just as characters and as actors, we were all trying to figure out how to do this job. It was a lot of our first acting job, you know? So it was us kind of learning the ropes. It was kind of acting 101. Now season two, we were more like a family. Like, we got to hang out with each other. We got to, you know, on and off set, we got to know each other very well. So we were more connected on the second season. And so, and then the episodes started to get a little bit more in depth. You know, they weren't really surface episodes. They got a little bit more into, you know, who each character was and their backstory. It's a little more serious. So I think season three, we definitely get Dad back involved, and maybe there's an entire season where Dad is, you know, physical with us, and we can have a season where we battle Grimlord together and have, you know, have Dad involved. Because everybody just wanted to know, well, where did it end? You know, and I think we needed that finality. What you got?
So acting versus voice acting, what are some of the challenges that you face from going from acting to voice acting?
Great question. I do more voice acting work now than on camera, which is just the opposite of what I'm used to. It's like anime used to be the hobby, and on camera was the job. And so now it's like when I do voice acting, and I'm just lucky enough that Funimation and Crunchyroll, they're 20 minutes from my house in Dallas. I just got lucky. I was in the right place at the right time. So, but voice acting is just fun for me because I've always watched animation growing up, and I've always wanted to do voices. So I was like, oh, there's a job? You can become that person to do that job? So for me, it was a longer-term wish list thing, but it's never going to be the same as standing in front of another actor. Oh, did I push a button? Did I do something? I heard a beep. It stopped. Is that cool? You want to record?
Is it still moving?
No.
The red button?
Yeah. I don't record it.
I
think I pointed and it stopped. Other oops. But as far as voice acting, it'll never take the place of standing in front of another actor and being able to have a real scene with real emotions. I mean, you're creating everything you can in a box, in a studio room with just the dialogue here, you know, the what's going on the episode right here, so the live action here, the dialogue here, a microphone, and that's it. So you're trying to create as much as you can from getting the input from the words and from the images and trying to do that, but it'll never take the place of being able to, you know, have a scene with you, you know.
Last question.
Yours.
Mine's kind of a two-part question. So if you were to offer a piece of advice or encouragement to someone who aspires to follow in your footsteps, mm-hmm. what would that be? And part two, what do you wish you had known when you were first starting out?
Okay, great questions. Advice would be, because I'm talking about a career of 30, I'm probably on 30 plus years now. 25 in LA, but I mean, I got started and there was a lot of, you know, early on jobs. But if you want this business, if this is something you really want, patience, you've got to have patience. If you want quick results, it's very few and far between that anyone's an overnight success. When they say overnight success takes 15 years, that's pretty much right. Like, I didn't break out. Even with VR Troopers, that's the first TV show that I ever got and the only one I ever got in my entire career. So I got my success up front, and I had to start, you know, working and trying to get more jobs and trying to get on films and trying to get so. It's a little frustrating because when you get on a TV show, you think you're going to continue to get TV shows. I didn't get another TV show as a lead for the rest of my career. So it's that's where that patience comes in. And if you're expecting, you know, quick fame or quick popularity or quick money, this isn't the business for that. I mean, there are people that can get it pretty fast, but I bet anyone who's successful now, they'll be like, it started a long time before they were famous. So patience is going to be the hard part of it. And what was the second one? What would I wish I would have known?
What do you wish you would have known?
I think for that, the one thing I regret is I didn't take the networking side of the business serious. When I lived in LA, I had my buddies, you know, we all lived together. We all went and played pool and went to the beach and went surfing and did what, you know, friends do. And I should have been at the right place at the right time. I should have been at the, you know, events with other actors and directors and producers, because that's where the relationships are made, and that's where the deals are made, kind of like on a golf course, you know, that's where the deals are made. I've lost more jobs to people because they knew the producer, director, writer, and they had that relationship. It had nothing to do with skill. I'm just as good as the guy next to me, but if he knows the writer, director, producer, he's getting the job, you know. And I have been friends with people on that side, and I've gotten jobs too, so I've gotten favoritism, even though me and the other guy were probably just as talented and right for the job, but it's a who you know business.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.